We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man, Andreas Hale. Hopefully, you guys checked out our boxing show from earlier in the week. Really good stuff going on there. We're still kind of prepping for Caleb Plant, David Benavidez, which is here in Vegas next weekend. So you guys get a whole nother boxing show previewing that. But this one was really fun. Talk some hip-hop on it as well.
You know what I was just thinking about? Canelo, because we talked about Canelo fighting in Guadalajara.
Yep.
Cinco de Mayo, I don't have to be at a fucking fight. I can go drink.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That summarizes the whole boxing show if you missed it.
Only thing that weekend is WWE pay-per-view that we got to watch.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, I'm still going to drink.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Tequila, you got all the fancy tequila, too. Yeah, I'll drink none of that shit at your crib. But yeah, I pass by the bar every time. I'd be like, this motherfucker got fancy tequila. Because I know you're like a whiskey guy. Yeah. You have the gin. You always break out the Hendrix because you're a snob with gin. You only drink like one type of gin. So you always have like the ginormous bottle of Hendrix because you go to Costco for everything. And I'm like, oh, this is incredible. But when I look at tequila, I'm like, I have never seen you drink tequila, but you had the fanciest tequila.
Yeah, I bought some when we were in Mexico.
You don't drink it.
I do.
Never seen
it. It's got to be a certain time.
I'm
a spicy margarita guy. Like, I love me a spicy fucking margarita.
When? We've been doing this show 8-9 years. I've never seen you order or have a spicy margarita in your hand.
My wife, I do it all the time. There's a restaurant called Pancho's that's over there by my crib.
Vegan tacos?
They have like vegan tacos.
Okay.
It's really good, but they make like the best margaritas. I was surprised. I was like, oh, because you could fuck up a margarita. And it makes me really angry. You don't drink tequila.
I've had dollar margaritas from Sunset Station before.
You gotta be careful. Like, some of them have too much syrup.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them don't have like the right amount. Like, but here it's like perfect. I love a good margarita. And yeah, but it has to be like a spicy margarita. It's gotta have jalapenos and cucumber. It's gotta have kick, tahine on the rim.
Oh, I don't know. Nah, you lost me.
I do all that shit. It's delicious.
I don't do no tahine. I don't do none of that. Like, nah, no michelada. None of that shit.
I don't do anything with tomato juice.
Yeah,
keep like that shit away from me.
It's against like my inner Puerto Rican.
I know it is.
We don't do that shit. One day you're gonna be at my crib and hear my grandma. You just bring up tahine. Just like you're gonna hear the most obscenities you ever heard of an old Puerto Rican. Like, it just something about our culture don't fuck with like all that.
Tahine's
like,
great.
Yo, it doesn't take much to get my grandmother to curse, but you want to see her just go on a tirade of Spanish curse words? Show her someone putting tahine and all the fucking red Lucas like candy shit on a mango.
Oh, that shit's delicious.
Don't fucking ruin mangoes.
That is delicious.
We get it from the tree in Puerto Rico. We pick it. We cut it right there. Yeah, you know, every Puerto Rican got the knife in the pocket. You cut it right there. It's delicious as is. You don't spice a mango.
Yes, you do. I got a bag of dried mango spice right now. Play with me, tahini.
West Coast ass Dre.
Hey, I don't give a fuck. I'll put tahini on corn. I'll put tahini on all that shit. I like spice.
I like spice too. That shit, nah, it's a different, that tickles your nose. It's not even like a good spice.
Nah,
it's dumb salty.
Anyway, I don't want to hear about Taim. I'm talking about tequila. I'm talking about Cinco de Mayo, and I don't have to watch Canelo and be focused on Canelo. I can drink my margaritas in it. Do you even take shots of tequila?
I have.
All right.
This is how I know I black out.
We're going to get you.
Yeah.
No, it's going to happen.
Like, I'm not against drinking tequila. I just know whatever I'm drinking that night, I could just have beers, I can have water, I can have gin. If I take one shot of tequila while I'm drinking anything else, I'm going to wake up the next day and my wife going to have to tell me what happened to me, because I am not going to remember. And I'm a great drunk. I am a phenomenal blackout drunk person, because I'll act exactly the same. I'm friendly, I'm funny, all this shit. And I pass out. I don't bother nobody. I'm not like a violent drunk. I ain't fighting nobody. When it's my time, I'll be coherent and I'll maneuver the night. So I'll black out around 10:30. If we drink tequila, I take my first shot at 7. I'm blacked out by 10. I'm functioning to like 1. Then I'm passing out. Boom. Usually arms across chest, Undertaker style. Several pictures of me like that. So I pass out just like this. Like I'm in a coffin. Lying perfectly still. I wake up the next day around 9 or 10. Cool. Eat a little something. Go home. My wife sees the aftermath after that. I don't throw up on the same night that I drink. Next day, all bad. All bad. She's picking me up from the floor. It's crazy. Oh, I've had to shampoo a carpet after coming from Ryan McKinnell's crib once.
Oh, my God.
So listen, it's all bad.
My son's 1 year birthday is coming up. If you guys want to come, it's a baby party. Baby parties are the dumbest thing in the world, because they're not for the baby. It's for everybody else. And I'll bring a bottle of tequila.
Oh, my God. I think I'll be here for Cinco de Mayo. How about this? Because I think the baby party is when I'm in Mexico.
Okay.
For this bachelor party. Cinco de Mayo. I'll do that, yeah. I will be back. Let's watch Backlash. Because I think tickets are going to be too crazy to go in Puerto Rico. Like, I might just give up that dream. But I could watch it. I will come to your crib. You make the spicy margaritas. Have the tequila on Deckington. Me, the wife, come to your crib. We'll hang out. We'll watch it. Maybe we order tacos or something.
Oh, yeah. We'll get some.
We do that whole spread.
We'll go all out.
Yeah, we'll do Cinco de Mayo, your crib, while watching the pay-per-view. My wife, I mean, we might Uber home. I don't know. Like, we'll figure that out. I'll have the new crib by then. And I'm going to be blacked out. I'll take the next day off from work.
I'll tell you what happened in the main event.
Yo, because it's a Saturday, right?
They're, I think so.
Oh, they're whacking me out. If it's a Sunday, I can easy. But Sunday, Saturdays, usually I can't get too drunk because I got to do like recap coverage the next day. But I'll take it off. I'll make someone else work it and be like, yo, all this Canelo recap shit, all that stuff. You guys do that. I'm be drunk.
All right. I just need some carne asada fries and some tequila. Some street tacos.
I've seen you have a fridge full of bomb-ass barbecue.
Yes.
And order carne asada fries. So it's the most egregious thing I've ever seen.
I don't care.
You're like, I don't eat leftovers. And then order like carne
asada. I just didn't want leftovers. I just really wanted carne asada fries. It's like 10:30 in the morning. I just had a crazy.
Why'd I come over? It was like Wrestle Kingdom. We watched something.
It was Ryan that left his car because he got drunk the night before.
That is what it was. And I had to drive him back to your crib to get his car the next day. And there was so much barbecue left. And I was like, what? You're not going to eat this?
I was like, y'all take this. I'm ordering some carne asada.
I don't understand how many plates I had. I ate a plate there. I brought two plates home. And it was just nothing but meat. And I brought my wife like a thing of baked beans and two pieces of cornbread.
Yeah, I can't fit all that shit.
I just had just trays of brisket and shit. Yeah, you are the worst. But I will drink tequila. Cinco de Mayo, we have plans. I will drink tequila on that day. UFC has a pay-per-view as well.
Didn't we just have one of these?
We're going to talk about a pay-per-view happening this weekend. But then they also, this makes no sense. That's before we jump into this weekend and all that shit. They have London this upcoming weekend. They have Miami, which is dope, early April. You tell me, for one of the first times in, I'm going to say maybe 15, 16 years, there is not a boxer fighting in Vegas That is the boxing weekend in Vegas. Mm-hmm. From De La Hoya to Snagged by Floyd. Give me like, 2009 or whatever. That's like 14 years. To Taken by Canelo. For one of the first years since 2009, boxing is not running Cinco de Mayo weekend here. You have three Mexican champions currently in the UFC. Mm-hmm. Up until 6 months ago, there had never been one. You now have three Mexican champions. And you put the Cinco de Mayo pay-per-view in Newark, New Jersey.
I mean, they probably thought Canelo was coming to Vegas.
This...
Because they plan out far and, like, I'm going to try to give them an out here. Because you know you got to go to the commission. You got to...
Yeah.
You have to book the date, book the venue. They could have figured out a way to do this. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say... Because who the fuck wants to go to a Prudential Center?
No one.
Prudential Center is awful.
Shakur's fighting there April 8th. I will not be in the...
I don't care. Like,
but I've watched his last fight there. And
I hate the Prudential Center. I hate it. I've been there many times. I do... Like, it's like a shit venue.
I stayed in Manhattan. I took the tunnel.
Yeah, nobody right wants to fight. Nobody wants to stay in Newark.
They were like, "Oh, the room block's in Newark." I was like, "Oh,
yeah, no, I want to keep my things."
Yeah, you thought? No, I'm going back to
staying
in Soho.
They chill. Could have. I mean, Henry Cejudo versus Aljo. I get Aljo's a Long Island kid, whatever, but that's a Vegas fight. Like, what the fuck y'all doing?
They would have been better off. You know what there is in Long Island? Brand new shiny ass stadium.
Yeah,
or arena. That they ran last year for a fight night that the New York Islanders, who used to have their home games in Barclays, opened up a nice-ass arena in Long Island. No. That fight card did perfectly well last year. How about you put Aljo in Long Island? Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, ain't nobody in Jersey is trying to go to that fight.
It's May. It's probably the kickoff weekend in the Hamptons. Long Island would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Could have got real bougie, Dana. Real bougie. No one wants New Jersey.
Probably got on the cheap, too.
So that shit's horrible. So, yeah, we'll watch a... If it's on that Saturday night, I guess we're going to be watching everything.
Yeah.
It's just at your crib. Everything will be on, including wrestling. And we'll have to, like, talk and go through and, like, watch everything. But, man, it's... I couldn't believe that move. Smart move, though, having Leon Edwards fight in London. This upcoming weekend, because he's from there. So
this is just weird because it's like, here's my problem with this card. You just had a pay-per-view. It's problem number one.
Yeah.
But you spend more time, I'm getting this real quick, talking about your shitty-ass power slap league. They're promoting this fight. Then you got put on blast by Matt Wells from MMA Junkie for having fake accounts have social media engagement. For those who don't know, Matthew Wells was... He was tracking the people because the tweets go on the screen. My tweets have been up there. Aaron Bronner, there's a bunch of people. Yeah, like a lot of people.
During UFC fights, tons of people.
And it's like, I know those people. Cool. And we all, laugh about it. The Power Slap, they have these tweets and people are like, who the fuck is that? So Matt did his recon. And he looked up these people. These accounts don't exist. Or they have like three followers. So they've been having dummy accounts show engagement.
You know how hard that is to do with social media? Like... Because, again, your social media team or your designers probably have to put that together.
Right.
That takes a lot of fucking time. And you have to still kind of do it on the spot.
Right.
Because how am I going to make it up? Like, I got to watch this shit.
But they did this. They spent all this time at the John Jones pay-per-view. Dana was like, Power Slap's doing just fine. And everybody's shit on the UFC and blah, blah, blah. TBS got rid of it.
Yep.
TBS is like, one season, we're out.
It's on like a... right wing.
Well, yeah, they had a pay-per-view. It was supposed to be a pay-per-view, and then they moved it to a shitty app. And I don't know who watched that. Dana's like fighting to keep Power Slap alive, but you got a pay-per-view in the UK where your welterweight champion is from there, and the guy that you was on the cusp of saying is the greatest welterweight of all time is trying to get his title back after getting kicked in the fucking face with like a minute left in a fight he was dominating. And then your co-main event is the most violent man on the planet.
Yep.
Against another guy that's, fight of the night. Like, every time he fights, it's fight of the night. And we're talking about the Power Slap League? And we're talking about, like, yeah, John Jones, okay, that was great, but this is dumb.
And it's gone the way of BLK Prime.
No, nothing's gone the way of BLK Prime.
it's heading that way. The trajectory is not far off.
No, Power Slap League. I mean, it was stupid. Dana's been defending it. He's been, like, a staunch supporter. you guys, you'll see, like that's old Danish thing. You'll see, you'll come around. No, nobody wants to watch people get smacked in the face and can't defend themselves. And every highlight is them getting smacked unconscious. It makes me cringe more and more every time I see
it. And the key is it's so repetitive because it just is really just one.
No, you can't outcome. Like, I can't taunt you. Like I can't
you faint. Ali shuffle?
No, I just slap you.
That's it.
How many times can I watch this shit? And you fall the same way.
Faceless, nameless people just getting slapped. At first, the shock value may keep people around. All this, after a while, it's just the same thing.
It's like, oh shit! Can he stand up to getting slapped by this giant hand?
That's it. No. I don't see like a spinning backhand.
No,
ain't no style and flair to how you can slap people.
It's stupid. You gotta let it go.
A 12-6 slap like that. Like there's no variation in striking.
No, it's bad. But that's what Dana spent all his energy on when he should be promoting this fight.
Yeah,
it's a solid card.
It is.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Actually, right before we get into that, we have last weekend's card.
Goddamn.
It.
Vizisvili.
Yes.
My God.
Marab versus Petr Yan in the main event.
Yo, I picked Yan to win. I was like, if he can keep this fight standing, he can win. I never expected Marab to have this kind of a gas tank.
He set the record for most takedown attempts by 20.
Like, yo, he never stopped.
I think the final count was 67 takedown attempts in a 5-round fight. 67 takedown attempts in 25 minutes. So if we're doing quick math, that is 2.5 per minute.
Yo, he didn't stop. And I know Yan was like, he's going to slow down eventually. It's like 5 rounds in, this fucker's still coming.
He's on him. Constantly. He was on his ass all night. And Yan was just like, you know what? This shit ain't fun. Give me O'Malley again. Like, this ain't fun. Now you're in a pickle.
You're in a huge pickle.
Because
he lost 3 in a row.
Yeah. I mean, his career is in a pickle. I thought the UFC was in a pickle. No, Yan is in a pickle. Like, some gotta give. Like, this is where they kind of always make people move up. I don't think that's the answer.
No, he's small.
Yeah, so
he's small, like compact. Look like Chad Mendes a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if you can move down because he's big.
He's big. He's big, small.
Yeah, he's big. He's big, small. He's in a tough spot. And then the division where you have Aljo and Marab clearly never going to fight each other.
No.
But then it kind of puts pressure on Aljo, depending on, regardless of what happens, face, to move up.
Marab was like, as long as he's here, I'm not fighting for the title. And, you know, like, Matt Serra and Ray Longo are like, yeah, as long as he's here. And they're looking at Aljo, and Aljo's like, I don't really want to move up, but you motherfuckers are about to force me.
Yeah.
Dude, Barab's that guy.
Yeah. Yo, big ass better move up.
Yeah, like Aljo, you're like 170 pounds squeezing in this small. Like, stop.
You had your run.
You beat Henry Cejudo, move up, let Merab get the run with the title. You can have, I mean, I know why Aljo. And Aljo's not, he's not even small to go to featherweight.
No.
But I get it. Like, I you want to get bounced out by your teammate?
No. And I say if he wins, if he loses, he goes up. Hands down. Because Merab Cejudo is one hell of a fight. Even though I don't think we get that next anyway. But if he wins, the money isn't fighting O'Malley.
Of course it is.
Because O'Malley has a star power.
Yeah.
And you look at him and be like, I could probably sub him.
You want that rub. But don't fuck around and get your block knocked off. That's the only danger with Aljo. Like, Aljo loves, like, using his kicks to get range. I'm, like, kicking under the desk right now. Because every time I see Aljo fight, it just makes me want to kick. But that's what he does. He doesn't really throw hands. O'Malley likes that shit.
Yeah.
Because he closes distance very fast.
So that's kind of a better fight than anything you'll see at rushing up a division. So it's like, yeah, you know what? I'd probably stay here and chill for a second at bantamweight. And I think Triple C, if Cejudo wins, then yeah, I think he gets O'Malley as well. Marab's going to be waiting for a quick second, even though the record and the wins and everything dictates he probably shouldn't. But he's going to wait at least one more time because Sean O'Malley, he's the money guy.
Yeah, I get what's going on here, but you know.
So next, now we can roll into UFC 286 to kind of close out the show. Not that we're close to the end. We have a whole damn card to go through. So the UK card, the early prelims and the prelims are.
Yo, what? This card starts at like 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine with me. I ain't got shit to do anyway. I'll be watching the fight. It's just early cards are good because it's over early.
I mean, there's basketball.
That's what I'm saying. It's a lot.
All day basketball. So that's tough for.
Ooh, wee, March Madness.
Yeah. So you look at that and it's like selling a pay-per-view during the day.
Right.
For March Madness. Like a lot of people are watching a lot of other shit. Some people don't have five televisions. Some of us do.
Some people.
But so,
that was such an inconsiderate flex. You just made everybody feel poor.
A lot of people don't have five television. So it's like one of those things where, man, you're making people make a tough choice to purchase a pay-per-view. And it doesn't help. Like you said, the afterthought was the power slap.
Yeah.
They're really not pushing this pay-per-view like a pay-per-view.
And I mean, look, man, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but isn't it funny? It's two black guys at the top of the car.
It's a horrible coincidence there. Like, yeah, it's one of those things where the rematch should help get sales. And I'm not saying that the MMA audience necessarily cross over to basketball, but March Madness is such a cultural thing.
And it's a huge betting thing.
Huge. So you're splitting interest there when maybe you don't have to.
If I'm trying to hit a parlay, I'm not trying to hit my parlay with Justin Gaethje. I'm trying to hit my parlay with Duke.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's where I'm trying to hit my parlay. So I'm watching that game.
Yep.
I'm not paying to try to hit my parlay. Like March Madness is huge betting wise in Vegas and everywhere else, online, whatever. But
so that it makes it so luck. So tough. But we'll go through the card real quick. Marvin Vettori versus Roman Dole. I don't want to butcher his name. Versus Roman.
Well, all right. So we'll put it like this. Roman's been on a nice little run of
yes.
Three wins in a row.
I have a pronunciation guide here too from ESPN. I just don't feel like opening it.
Marvin Vettori is not a gatekeeper, but kind of is. Marvin Vettori should win this fight. The guy is on a nice little roll, has run into somebody. Marvin Vettori's tough.
He is, and he's still young, 29.
Yeah, he's just mentioned tough, that. And he's a great wrestler, and he's durable as shit. I'm picking Marvin Vettori to win by decision.
But I will tell you this, pronunciation aside, of the name, Roman's on one hell of a streak.
Yeah, that's fine. But who's he beat?
I'll tell you. He went Kyle Dukas.
That's
not true. Got him out of here. Phil Hawes, KO. By the way, those are two first-round KOs. Second-round KO, Jack Hermanson.
He ain't knocking out Marvin Vettori. He's going to have to fight. He'll be on his back in this fight.
We've been thinking that a lot lately of Marvin Vettori.
Yeah, but Marvin Vettori beat Paulo Costa.
A lot of people have been beating Paulo Costa.
I'm just saying.
Secret sauce aside. He beat him before the secret sauce.
Well, we don't know.
But, Vettori is tough, though.
He's going to win.
No one really stops him. I think we can see some wild shit. I think Roman stops.
All right, I'm picking Vettori by decision.
It's one of those things where you come in to make a statement if you're going to win. Like
better.
Roman could do that. Jennifer Maia, Casey O'Neill, next fight.
So this is a good fight because Casey O'Neill has been out for a while.
Yep.
And she comes right back with somebody who surprisingly gave Valentina a tough fight.
Yeah.
It's a good little litmus test to see where Casey O'Neill is.
A lot of
Casey
people O'Neill. Have been giving Valentina, surprisingly.
Everything now that Alexa Grasso won that fight, everybody's like going back to watch these Valentina fights. It was like, oh shit, the tea leaves were saying she was slowing down the entire time. We weren't paying attention. But tease their own, however you want to look at it. But I think Casey O'Neill is another young fight. I think she's 9-0.
Yep.
She's on the rise.
25 years old.
Yeah,
this big is a big spot for her.
This is a test. You're coming back. We're going to throw you right in there. We just saw Aaron Blanchfield, even though it's not quite as close. But I think this is Casey. I think Casey O'Neill.
That's some good.
She probably wins by decision.
Like, really? That's some good young talent in that division.
They do. They need it.
Desperately.
Yeah.
They need it now. Not even for 125. They need it desperately because 135 has no young talent.
Yeah, 135.
So they need some of these women to go through 125, and then much like the other divisions where your body grows and then you move up, and by the time they're 30, 31, they'll be fighting at 135 and give that division depth because that division has, like, no depth. No Meatball Molly on this one, huh?
No, man. She got wrecked by Aaron Blanchfield.
That should just, like, give her some time off. Next up, Gunnar Nelson, Brian Barberina. Gunny.
I mean,
look, I think Connor might. I wonder if Connor flew back.
Maybe. Who knows?
He's everywhere. He's on tough. He's
I mean, this is jiu-jitsu versus striking, right? Yep. This is Brian Barberina. He's going to be full board putting on pressure. Can Gunnar Nelson find a way to deal with the pressure, get this fight to the ground, and work it out? I'm going to say no. I'm going to pick Brian Barberina. This is weird. I usually like to pick stoppages, but I think this is another decision. I'm going to go Brian Barberina by decision. It's a weird thing to say because I don't know if Brian Barberina can keep the fight standing three rounds to get his. Because as soon as the fight hits the mat, he might be in trouble.
Yeah, we saw him get tapped last time. One of my favorite interviews we've done in the past year.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Barberina, phenomenal.
Bam, bam. I'm going to pick Barberina by decision.
Me too. Even though Gunnar will have the crowd behind him and everyone will be going crazy for him, I'm not sure he has what it takes to get the fight to the ground.
Yeah.
So I think Barberina has enough skills to stay standing. Co-main event, fight of the night. Fuck it.
Easy. Give them their money now.
Both of them getting bonuses.
I mean, what they should do is just give them the bonus now so they can have bonuses for everybody else. Because you know this fight's going to get a bonus.
Just give them their own category.
Yeah. Like, we know the Justin Gaethje fight of the night.
Gaethje versus Fazeev. My favorite highlight we run on ESPN MMA all the time. I think it ran today. Is Fazeev randomly just matrixing people?
Yeah.
Where, like, you try to kick him, he just fucking full back bends. Comes up and then just punches you in the face. The guy is a different level of an animal. And Gaethje, we know what Gaethje is. Gaethje, you better come to fight. He's not a gatekeeper. He's the worst. If you want to treat him like a gatekeeper, he's the worst type of gatekeeper. Yeah. Because he only loses to the elite of elite. And he's coming to take your face off every second of the fight. This is going to be a good one. I don't pick against Justin Gaethje. Like, you better have really good wrestling for me to pick against Justin Gaethje. I ain't doing it here.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like is it's not a 5-round fight, which was 5 rounds of violence.
You might not need it.
Fazeev is an excellent striker. He's very sharp. He's able to get out of the way of a lot of things, but he's going to have to deal with leg kicks in this fight. And Justin Gaethje covers distance well with his leg kicks, as long as he deploys them. This is my first stoppage of the night. I think Gaethje's going to stop him. Gaethje needs this fight.
He does.
I think he's 2-2 in his last two. And he's looking at this lightweight division. It's like, well, shit. Charles Oliveira is about to fight Benil Dariush.
Yep.
You have Islam as the champ. You're kind of like, I wonder if I can get in that picture. But I just saw what Volkanovski did. If I can, stay upright, I might have a chance in that fight. But if you lose to Fazeev, all that shit goes up in smoke.
It does. But the way to beat Justin Gaethje, he is 2-2 in his last couple fights. You got to get him to the ground.
You can't just stand there with him.
No.
Because he's going to get at you sooner or later. Now, the only question is, I've watched Justin Gaethje since World Series of Fighting. This has got to catch up to you sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
Like, one of these times you're like, I got a great chin, and you get cracked, and it's like, well, that's the end of that. Because once that happens, it is over.
We thought Poirier would be that.
But it wasn't. Like,
nope. Bounced right back, and he's like, well, I can eat this punishment.
Yeah, I think this will be a fun fight. I think it'll be violent. I think Fazeev is going to try to finesse the striking, and Gaethje will not allow that to happen because the pressure is going to be too much. I'm going to pick Gaethje by second or third round stoppage.
I'll pick Gaethje by decision only because it's just three rounds.
Now, that's the only problem. Like the Chandler fight, we were like, fuck.
They'll both be bloody. It'll be great. This is one of those where Fazeev probably makes us eat our words. And then it'll be possible. Like, yo, no, like he's the truth. Like we just saw last week.
Yeah, like all that, like he's slick. Like he's very slick. And if Gage is not careful, he'll get caught with something.
Yep.
And so, he's going to get caught with something. That's just the way Gage fights.
It's, does he get back up and beat the shit out of Fazeev for catching him and pissing him off? And then main event, Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman.
Listen, it's not a concern, but I don't know what this is. We haven't heard shit from Kamaru since he got knocked out.
Nope.
Not a fucking word. And part of it is, I know it. Kamaru was like, what the fuck I got to say? I was winning 24 minutes of a fight. I got kicked. And it's over. Everything that I had built up, I was going to be the greatest welterweight of all. Everything went up in smoke from one head kick. And his whole camp has got to be on concentration.
Yep.
The other thing is, Daniel Cormier pointed this out. He's like, once that veil of invincibility is lifted and you get knocked out, now you know you can get knocked out. And you fight different. DC fought different. I don't know if Kamaru was adjusted to the... Because there's some people that go, he caught me. And there's some people that go, that shit will never happen again. And it's the ones that always go, that shit will never happen again, that happens all the time.
Yep.
That being said, it's a 5-round fight. Kamaru dominated the first fight. I think him not saying a word for so long is just really him focusing on concentrating to never get caught with that same shit again. Then Kamaru gets the title back here. I'm going to say he's going to go the distance because I think he's going to be careful. If he has a chance to win, to stop him, he's going to. But Leon Edwards has to fight the perfect fight.
Yep.
Because you're not going to get a 24-minute and 3-second head kick off of a feint that Kamaru fell asleep at the wheel. You have to fight the perfect fight. And I don't think he can.
Kamaru subs him in 2.
So, okay. With what?
Give me rear naked. Because this is going to look more like their first fight than the second. When you go silent, when you're not talking, when you just stay in the gym, oh, it's wrestling time. Oh, it's the falling asleep is as much of a product of kind of the Ronda-ism of, oh, my hands are that nice, I can stand and strike with everyone. This is, oh, we getting back to it. We are on the wrestling grind.
Yep.
And much like we saw from John, not even going to give him the chance. You're not going to get the chance to hit me, let alone kick me. We going to the ground. And Leon's wrestling's improved greatly.
Yeah.
The takedown.
Kamaru done.
Yeah.
Right.
First person to like to legit take him down. But Kamaru was, again, on the feet, willing to strike. And he was winning that way. Nope. Not even give him the chance. We're going back to where this first fight was. People call that one boring. Kamaru took him down, held him down, got busy. And I'm going with a sub, but I can see him winning a decision 4-1. But this is going to be a wrestling match. This ain't going to be a strike fest.
Yeah, I think Kamaru, like a lot of people look at it as like, oh, well, Leon's fighting at home. He's going to have the crowd behind him. How's it going to affect Kamaru? I think it's going to be easier for him. I think he's going to feed off of that because he's coming to this fight. I'm sure he's coming to this shit angry, right? Like, I got something to prove. Like, I got everything that I had taken away from me in a split second.
Yep.
So, he'll probably stand in front of him for a little while, wait for his opening, get his takedown. He's going to close the distance. He's probably going to work the clinch, foot stomps, shoulders. He's gonna have to make this dirty.
Yep.
But to your point, standing in front of Leon and fighting at a distance, that can't be.
Shit's out the window.
He can't. Like, he's not stupid. His team's not stupid. They know what happened. They know what he's good at. They know what brought him to the dance, like a lot of fighters. They forget. Oh, yeah. You just smothered everybody.
That's it.
You fell in love with your hands. You see what happened. He's not going to do that here. Kamaru will regain the welterweight championship. And then It's very interesting because the welterweight division is Colby's here and Gilbert Burns is fighting Masvidal. And Chimaev, it looks like he's going up to – he's got to go up. He can't
– He'll make weight again.
Dana seems very persistent that he's not fighting at welterweight anymore. Then you have Rakhmonov, who was phenomenal. Like, there's a lot of people there. I don't think they do this fight again unless it ends up really close. But even then, I think Dana's like, I don't – a fourth time?
Nah. No, because I don't think it's that draw.
Yeah.
It's not. Like, this is the end of that chapter, and then you figure it out. But I think the Wolf campaign's to fight again at 170.
Kamaru gets his title back.
Yeah, I think so.
Kamaru gets his title back? And Connor is the one who's going to be sitting around going,
Yep.
If he beats Chandler, which we all expect him to, Kamaru's been getting injured a lot lately. I fully expect him to break a hand or do something in this fight and sit on the bench. And there's no, if Gilbert Burns beats Masvidal, Rakhmonov is a fight away, Connor can like sneak in.
Yeah, he can fight Colby for an interim title.
Who?
Connor.
No. Connor's not going to fight Chandler until the end of the year. Kamaru will be healed.
That's true. Yeah.
Kamaru will be healed by the time. Like, yeah, he'll be on the shelf.
Yeah,
probably till the end of the year, early next year. But you know if Kamaru sees Connor hanging around.
I just saw Connor. Connor is not as big as those photos made it seem.
He ain't 155 pounds.
He's not far from it. Those photos, Connor's like really like puffing his chest out. He's doing like a lot of like muscle man, like Vince McMahon shit and like posing. I just saw him at the fight last weekend. Like I was at the Jones fight, I guess 2 weeks ago now.
He looked very weird.
And I was on Connor watch for much of the main events. I was on the octagon, but I was also like filming Connor's reaction with Jake Gyllenhaal, which fucking crushed for us. But Connor's body isn't far off from where it used to be. And he's not even a full camp right now. He's just doing the Ultimate Fighter. He's not that big. His head is still ginormous. I don't know where that's going to go.
His facial hair back.
But maybe it's the beard is gone. But his head is considerably bigger than when we used to cover him.
He looks like the monkey on his chest.
Yeah, he does. But the body has shrunk considerably. They're going to fight at 170 because it's easy. Connor, I think, goes back down to 155. I think he can make it fairly easy. The body's not that big. When I saw him, I was like, oh, he's damn near the same size again. Without a quick weight cut, he got it.
I just don't think he wants to fight Islam. I think he wants to be a three-division champion.
Right now, he's 173 max.
Like, Kamaru's a big-ass.
Big-ass dude. I've seen Kamaru's go, like, stand next to, like, heavyweights and just be like, what up?
Yeah, he's big.
No, like, Connor's 173 walking around with the proper 12
I'm very curious. I think there's a clearer path for Connor to get a shot at Kamaru.
Think so. I just think it's a horrible match.
It probably is, but Islam's not a great matchup for him either.
If Leon wins, you fight him tomorrow.
Yeah. He probably leaves Ultimate Fighter.
That's
it. Pack my bags. I'm going to.
Yeah, I'll fight this. How long it take for the season to air? How long? What? When the finale air? Oh, August, September? I'm going to fight Leon before that. Yep. Don't worry about this. Then I'll still fight again.
Yeah, film my show.
That's it. I'll fight again September, October. Cool, I'll honor that obligation, but July? Yeah. Had a pay-per-view in July. At August 3rd, they do that shit sometimes, sneak it in August 3rd. Me, Leon, right here in the UK. Then I'll come back November. Like, you fight that right away.
He could, I just don't trust Conor.
I don't trust Conor to do that either. But you never know. You never know what happens with Conor McGregor. So we'll see how all this plays out. We'll see how this UFC pay-per-view plays out. We'll recap it. And then we'll damn near get ready to talk another UFC pay-per-view because the Adesanya rematch in Miami is coming up in about 2 weeks after this one is done. So there's a ton of UFC pay-per-views back to back to back, which will keep us busy. Make sure you guys follow us on all social media platforms at @CornerPodcast_Twitter, Corner Club for Life on Instagram, @CornerPod on TikTok, the YouTube, the Corner Podcast. Shout out to everyone here at Blue Wire Studios where we record the Win Las Vegas record Tuesday and Thursdays. By the way, a lot of people hitting me up seeing if we're recording on Sunday still or they're in town. It's Tuesday and Thursdays now, but shoot me a DM if you guys are in town. Always cool to link up. You guys come watch, hear the show, all that good stuff. It is fun times. We're going to be here. Tons of stuff happening in Vegas. So if you are in town, let us know, please. It is going to be a fun one. We appreciate you all. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.